Thank you. Is that it? There we go. It's good to be back. It was good to be there. We were gone for almost 2 weeks. I spoke at a national conference, and then Debbie and I took off and spent most every day at the beach. That's our favorite thing to do. We love to do that, and had a really good time. We had we met Jamie and Brett down in San Diego. They were down there with Brenda. Brenda, raise your hand. She was down there. What was really neat, and I think we had mentioned this before, the money that we pay for our lease, they put into a fund, and they call it the Harvest Fund. And so the Harvest Fund paid for Brenda and Brett to go down to San Diego and get some education. So we, in turn, used our rent money to pay for them to get some education. I thought that was kind of neat. Small world. We also went to Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa. I'd never been there before, and I wanted to go, and that was a lot of fun. We saw the play Wicked. But one of the things that was really nice is we celebrated 32 years of marriage together. Yeah. 32 years. And she still loves me. Yeah. Are there no slides today? Because they're on. Oh, there they are. Okay. Yeah, that was one of the places we took a picture of. Go to the next one. Boo, I call her. Brooke. And we're in San Diego, down in La Jolla. And then the next one. It was just the last day we were there. I took a shot of Deb in the sunset, and it was just nice. We just really had a good time. And I thank you for letting us go. When you really stop to think about it, thank you that we could go and rest up and get going. While we were down there, we were getting up, and I turned on Good Morning America, and Joe Siegel had passed away. I don't know if many of you know who Joe Siegel is. He's a movie critic. And he had been fighting cancer for, I don't know how many, at least a couple years, had colon cancer. And they were doing a memorial to him. And I thought it was really neat to watch. And Debbie used to turn that on to see what movies were good because she kind of trusted what he had to say. Because he was pretty straightforward and good at it. And so last week he died of that colon cancer. And in the process, it made me think about our lives. How we will affect those around us. How will people view you and me? Like Joe Siegel, when he died, they talked about what a kind man he was and all these kind of things. How will they view you and how will they view me? Will they see a person of faith? Will they be able to say, you know, that Steve or that Robert or that Linda or whoever you put your name in there, they were a real person of faith. They really believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, they didn't beat around the bush. They knew their God. Is that what they're going to say about you? She or he lived their faith. They were lovers of God, and they loved us, and we're going to miss them so bad because of the way they loved us. Is that what they're going to say? Well, that's the kind of people that Paul is describing in the book of Colossians, the letter of Colossians. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 4, verse 7. I'm going to read that. And there was no confusion where these men that Paul talks about. He's going to talk about two men, and there's no confusion as to where they stood in the faith. No confusion at all. Very clear. Very clear to Paul, very clear to a bunch of the people around them. They were known. Now here it is, in verse 7. Tychicus, a beloved or a loved brother, faithful minister. And you know when we got to this, do you remember that's where we jumped off and went to Hebrews 11 to figure out and observe what a faithful person is. A beloved brother, a faithful minister, and fellow servant in the Lord, will tell you all the news about me. I am sending him to you for this very purpose, that he may know your circumstances and comfort your hearts. With Onesimus. Now, Onesimus, if you've read in the New Testament, and you read, have you ever read the book Philemon? Well, the letter. It's only one chapter, Philemon. Okay, all one of us. Okay. Philemon was a slave owner, and Onesimus was his slave, and he wasn't a good slave, and he ran off, which would be deserving of death. And Paul runs into him, leads him to Christ, disciples and teaches him in the faith. And then Philemon is about Paul writing to Philemon, asking him to accept Onesimus back, not killing him or not charging the fault against him. And ultimately, we see that Onesimus, Philemon must have been so good about it that he just let Onesimus go, because we see here he's ministering. So he says, with Onesimus, excuse me, it's dry here. A faithful and beloved or loved brother who is one of you, they will make known to you all things which are happening here. So today I want to look at another faithful person out of Hebrews 11. If you'll turn to Hebrews 11 verse 28. And if you'll give me some house lights. Can you grab the house lights? Thank you. That way you can actually see your Bibles, okay? Oh, you are there. Wow. All right. I want to talk this morning about a woman of faith that made it into the Hebrews 11 faith chapter. And I believe that this morning, this is going to give you extraordinary hope in Jesus Christ. Extraordinary hope in Jesus Christ. When we read about her, no matter what your background is this morning, no matter what your sin, no matter what you think might disqualify you from not only becoming a Christian but serving God, this woman is going to encourage you. And I feel extra strong. You know, there's times in your life when you feel like you're going to speak directly to people. You know what I'm saying? Those times when you've said something and then somebody goes, wow, I can't believe you said that. Have you ever had that experience? Well, I feel like I'm going to have that experience this morning with what we're going to talk about, because we're going to talk about Rahab the harlot. Now, do you know what a harlot is? A prostitute? A whore? Okay, and so I'm going to use those words because there are terms, so don't be offended. Okay, but Rahab was a prostitute. Rahab was a whore. And Rahab was Jericho's whore, that when you went into the gates of Jericho, you took an immediate left. It could have been right, I don't know. Took immediate left, and she was a housekeeper, plus she was a prostitute. And so all these people that would come into Jericho, whether they belonged to Jericho or not, she was the person that they knew that was by the gates, who gave herself away. And, you know, I look at that and I think, you know, I have no idea why she was in the state she was. It's just that God's word said she was a prostitute. And yet she made Hebrews chapter 11. Now, just in that alone, that's extraordinary. But it gives me hope. I think it probably gives you hope, and we're going to get more hope as we look at this. You know, 2 weeks ago, I got up and I came into the office, and I felt like all of my sins were working against me. You ever feel that way? I even realized, I was thinking God was kind of running interference with me, so I couldn't get the ministry done. I know that sounds stupid. And it is stupid when you think of the Word of God. But I just felt like, man, you know, I'm trying to move forward and it's five steps back. I think I was thinking about the building program, and that's been a slow-moving thing, and we can't get them to move any faster, and it drives us crazy. And the week before I left, Clyde and I were sitting out on the foundation Wednesday morning praying and crying, because it's just like, it just seems so slow. And I got to this place where I was thinking, you know what, maybe it's my sin. Maybe it's the way I lived my life in the past that I'm just never going to get anywhere. Now, I realize this all sounds silly to you, okay? But to me, it wasn't silly. And I realized I wasn't thinking about how God views me. I was thinking about how Steve views me. And then I thought about David, and David had warred all over the territory, and he had captured land, and he captured all the land of Israel, and finally he decides he wants to build a temple for God, and one of the prophets, if you remember, comes in, I think it was Nathan, wasn't it? The prophet came in, and David says, I want to build a temple for God. And Nathan says, you just go ahead and build that temple. And so Nathan's on his way out, and God stops him and says, you go back and tell David he can't build that temple because he's a man of blood. And that one, his son will build the temple. And I got to dwelling on that, and I got to thinking, oh Lord, am I just totally in the way of this whole thing? Now, do you guys ever kind of start thinking the process and go down? Okay, there's five of us that do that. The rest of you, boy, you're lucky. All right. And I stop and I think, you know, we know about grace. We know that God saved us by grace, and we can minister by grace, and we can love by grace. But somehow we get our old sins back because the evil one would want us to stop and make us ineffective. And so I woke up thinking about this, and I had to deal with it, and I got out my Bible and I read it, and I thought, you know what, as I sat there, I thought, you know, if I'm the preacher and I didn't feel this way, what about everybody that's sitting in our auditorium? Where are they in that thought process? It's not logical, because emotions aren't necessarily logical. But I want to tell you something this morning, if you're feeling that way, and I know some of you are feeling that way, I can see it on your face this morning. We have to stop believing the lie. We have to stop believing the lie that the liar of this world keeps feeding us and defeating us with it. My past is spotted. Clyde's past is spotted. Most of your lives are spotted. In fact, I can probably say every one of you here this morning have a spotted past because you're all sinners. Amen? Yeah. And yet the truth is, God loves me and loves you just like He loves anyone else. And He's behind us pushing. And I have proof. Irrefutable proof this morning that when I read this scripture to you, you're going to have to agree whether you like it or not. Romans 8:31. What shall we say to these things? What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Wow, that is proof. If you believe the Bible, you realize God is not against you and He's not against me. Let me read it one more time because it might have been confusing. If God is for us, who can be against us? The answer is no one. He who did not spare His own Son but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? My second proof this morning is Rahab the prostitute. Turn with me to Hebrews 11:31 if you're not there. I want you to take a look at it. Hebrews 11:31, by faith the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spies with peace. Now that seems a little benign. You just barely get the idea. So turn to Joshua 2:1. And we're going to look at the Old Testament. We're actually going to do a little reading. So if you have your Bible, get it out. Okay? And turn to Joshua 2:1. Joshua is the fifth book, second chapter, verse 1. We learn with Rahab that in the scriptures that she, and I'm going to try to do this now, She is the great, 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 great grandmother of whom? Huh? Jesus Christ. A whore, a prostitute, a harlot was 25 grands or 27 grandmother of Jesus Christ. Rahab birthed Obed, who birthed Jesse, who birthed David, King David. Now this touches me, I'm telling you, because I'm looking at that and I'm thinking, if this lady, and I may be talking to some of you, you may have been in prostitution, you may have been in some of those areas, and I'm telling you, she birthed Jesus Christ. When it came all the way down, Joseph was her her lineage, and Joseph and Mary birthed Jesus, and that's how Jesus was in the kingly line, because it came through a prostitute. Now, I look at that and I think that God must have had a good laugh on Satan, because Satan probably thought, you know, I'm going to try to wipe out the Messiah, but it sure ain't coming through Rahab. That's one thing I know for sure. And it came through Rahab. Rahab, the non-Israelite who had to proselyte in, married Solomon, whoever he was, when she left Jericho. But we're going to read some of this because it's just neat. But I want you to look at the lowliest woman in Jericho, the one that the king even knew she existed, ended up having enough faith in the Lord, in the God of Israel, that she was saved and she entered the hall of faith. Unbelievable. I tell you, it's just hit me so hard this week, having had some of those thoughts. Now, I don't know why she was a prostitute. You know, we can look at it and think, oh, she had a bad home life. She was molested. Maybe she was sold into slavery by her parents, because we find out she has parents. She might have been a rebellious teen and ended up in a bad lifestyle. We don't know. And I'm telling you what, it doesn't matter, because God doesn't care what our past is about. He just doesn't care. God used a sinner like you and me to accomplish His will with Israel and birthing a Messiah that came and saved us from our sin. By hiding some spies from city officials to destroy the very city she lived in. All that by faith. So let's read it together, Joshua 2:1. Now Joshua the son of Nun sent out two men from Acacia Grove to spy secretly, saying, "Go view the land, especially Jericho." So they went and came to the house of a harlot named Rahab and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, "Behold, men have come here tonight from the children of Israel to search out the country." So the king of Jericho sent to Rahab, saying, "Bring out these men who have come to you, who have entered your house, for they have come to search out all the country." Now listen to this. Then the woman took the two men and hid them. So she said, "Yes, the men came to me, but I did not know where they came from. And it happened as the gate was being shut when it was dark that the men went out. Where the men went, I do not know. Pursue them quickly, for you may overtake them." And all the time they're hiding up in her roof. But she had brought them up to the roof and hid them in the stalks of flax, which she had laid in order on the roof. Then the men pursued them by the road to the Jordan, to the fords, and as soon as those who pursued them had gone out, they shut the gate. Now, let's just take a moment here to think about this. These men come in. Rahab doesn't even know them, but he knows they're from Israel. She knows they're going to destroy Jericho. We're going to find out. She hides them. She lies to the king. She lies to the men. She even sends them out on an expedition for 3 days of worthlessness because of her faith. Now, before they lay down in 8, She came up to them on the roof and said to the men, I know that the Lord has given you the land, that the terror of you has fallen on us, and that all of the inhabitants of the land are faint-hearted because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were on the other side of the Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. You know, I look at this and I think, man, we have a hard time. We listen to the phrase that Paul and James and some be hearers of the word, or be doers of the word, not the hearers only. And here's a woman acting out her faith, a prostitute who has never come face to face with God, but is now coming face to face with God with these two men. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts melted. Neither did there remain any more courage in anyone because of you, for the Lord your God, he is God in heaven, above and on earth. Now, how much more of a confession to salvation can you make than that? Now, therefore, I beg you, swear by me to the Lord, since I have shown you kindness, that you also will show kindness to my father's house and give me a true token. And spare my father, my mother, my brothers, my sisters, and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. So the men answered her, our lives for yours. If none of you tell this business of ours, it shall be when the Lord has given us the land that we will deal kindly and truly with you. Then she let them down by the rope through the window, for her house was on the city wall. She dwelt on the wall. And so we know this story. I wanted to almost read the whole thing. It's such a neat story. But she lets them down the wall. They run up to the mountains. They hide till this three-day search for him is over. And they come back and they haven't been able to find him. And then they go on and talk to Joshua. And they said this in verse 24. And they said to Joshua, truly the Lord has delivered all the land into your hands, our hands. For indeed, all the inhabitants of the country are faint-hearted because of us. So we know what happened. They went across the Jordan. They came up to Jericho. They camped. And then every day for 6 days, they marched around Jericho once. And then finally, on the seventh day, they marched seven times. Do you remember that? And they get to the end of the seven times, and they blow the trumpets, and they scream and yell, and the walls fall down on Jericho. Now, I'm telling you, I'd love to be there. I mean, you know, a lot of times we see answers to prayer, but can you imagine the answer to the prayer where